we often distinguish between the actual Maisa mitzvah itself, as opposed to a Hechsher mitzvah, a hachana that we do in advance to enable us to do a mitzvah. What's an example? You write the mezuzah, that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to put it on the door, to have the mezuzah on your house. The same thing, construction of the sukkah is not the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah is to sit in the sukkah on the Yom Tov of Sukkot. The Netziv has at the end of his commentary on the Shiltas, has a long essay, which has an original chiddush, that if you have a hechsher mitzvah, preparation for a mitzvah, that's described in the Chumash, like l'chsavta ma mezuzahs b'secha v'sharecha, that's one of his examples. It says you should write the mezuzah. So even though it's not the kiyum mitzvah, it's only the hechsher mitzvah, has the status of a semi-mitzvah. So he says, number one, we would apply the rule mitzvah bo yosef v'shluchoy, that it's preferable, if you know how to write a mezuzah, it's preferable you should write the mezuzah yourself, as opposed to buying a mezuzah by someone else. It's certainly preferable you should put the mezuzah on the door yourself. That's the actual mitzvah itself. Mitzvah bo yosef v'shluchoy. Shouldn't send the shliach, unless it's impossible. But even the writing of the mezuzah, that's the hechsher mitzvah kasabater. So the Netziv thinks that the asiyas ha-sukkah also has the same status. He has a Rashi in Makkos that he made famous, Rashi in the second parak in Makkos, that he thinks that you say mitzvah bo yosef v'shluchoy by asiyas ha-sukkah. Where is asiyas ha-sukkah mentioned in Chumash? So the Torah Shebaal Peh gives an additional level of interpretation on the pasuk in Chumash. Pasuk in Chumash says, so the Pshuto Shal Mikro means you should celebrate the holiday of Sukkot for a duration of 7 days. At the season of the year, that season of the year, when you're gathering in all the Paris, and there it so doesn't rain the whole summer, so if you can leave all the Paris outside, it's not going to get ruined. But soon after Sukkot, it's going to start to rain. It rarely rains in Eretz Yisrael. This time, very rarely rains. That's why the Mishnahs were edited in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah says, if it rains on Sukkot, it's a siman ra that the Rabban Shalom doesn't care for your mitzvah. The rains in America on Sukkot doesn't mean anything. It always rains on Sukkot. Why else it rains all year long? And then the later Achrayim say, even if it rains in Eretz Yisrael on Sukkot also, only if it started to rain on Sukkot. If it was already raining before Sukkot began, then they think that it's also not a siman ra. So the simple pshat in the pasuk is Chag HaSukkos Tazal Chol Shiras Yamin. You should celebrate the holiday of Sukkot for a duration of 7 days, that season of the year. So the Torah Shabbat has an additional level of interpretation. You leave out the word Chag for a minute, so you read Sukkos Tazal Chol. You should construct the Sukkah, and we darshan Tazal V'loi Min HaAsui. We'll get to that soon. Shiras Yamin, the Sukkah has the structure of the sukkah, has to be sturdy enough to last for a duration of 7 days. If you have a sukkah that looks like it's going to collapse within the 7 days, so you're not even yotzei before it falls down. Has to be roi l'chol shira. And then what do you use to make schach from it? You should use psoldas garen v'yekev. What's psoldas garen v'yekev? That's you need three conditions. That's gedule karka, has to be tolush, and has to be dov sheinu mekabel tumah. Means after you take off the grapes and you make wine, and after you pluck off all the pears from the ground, and you already took off the pears, and you're left with the stems, or you're left with the straw, or you're left with the shells, or something that's not mekabel tumah. So it's gidule karka, tolush, and dov sheinu mekabel tumah. The only thing is that the word chag doesn't fit it.
It's not going to work today.
Thank you. The only problem is that the word, so I need the keys back.
Yeah.
Okay. So the word chag is a problem. How can you say that it's talking about construction of the sukkah? So the Gemara says the word chag doesn't refer to the holiday of sukkahs according to this additional level of interpretation. The Torah Shalom Peh's additional interpretation refers to a korban chagiga. That's exactly why the korban is, that's why the yontav is referred to as a chag. In the biblical Hebrew, we don't refer to Chanukah or Purim as a chag. A chag is a yontav on which you bring a korban chagiga. Korban chagiga is a shlamin. So chag al sukkah tasalcho really means sukkah tasalcho. You should construct the sukkah, but the sukkah is compared to a korban chagiga. In what way? Just like in a korban chagiga, there's a din of meila, even though it's a shlamin in kochin kalim. There's no meila, means there's no penalty of meila. Somebody was moel behegdish, he doesn't have to pay kerem v'chaimish, and he doesn't have to bring asham meilas. But there is an isa meila. Then we showed him how that the Yisra Meila is Menat Torah. So Kishem Shachal Shem Shamayim Ala Chagiga Kal Chal Shem Shamayim Ala Sukkah. The Sukkah is compared to a Korban Chagiga. So according to the Torah Shabbal Peh, this additional level of the Pshut Shal Mikra is also true. But the Drash of the Torah Shabbal Peh is all the dinim of Sukkah based on the Drash of the Torah Shabbal Peh. So the Tziv has this chiddush that since according to the Drash, according to the additional level of interpretation of the Torah Shabbal Peh, the Chumash speaks about construction of the Sukkah, but that's why we'd say Mitzvah Bo Yosem V'Lishlucha. He also interprets the Mishnah as a person takes a shvuah lebatalos haMitzvah. Person swears he's not going to like tefillin tomorrow. He swears he's not going to say kiddush on Shabbos or something like that. Not going to eat matzah on Pesach. So shvuah lebatalos haMitzvah is a shvuah shav. That's not chal. What if a person takes a shvuah? I will not construct the sukkah. So that's not nishvah lebatalos haMitzvah. If he swears I will not sit in sukkah, that's lebatalos haMitzvah. He swears I will not make a sukkah. So the Netziv has a chiddush, because the Mishnah says, gives an example of a Shavua Shalavat L'Samitzvah. That's a Shavua Shavit. It's not Chal. Sukkah Sheini Oise. How do you translate Sheini Oise? In English, we would say, I will not do the mitzvah of Sukkah. I will not do the mitzvah. In Hebrew, you don't say Oise. Sukkah Sheini Oise would make better sense. Sukkah Sheini Oise. So the Netziv takes it Kipshuto. Sukkah Sheini Oise means, I will not construct the Sukkah. Even though it's only a Hechsha mitzvah, it's not the mitzvah itself, but because mitzvah bo yosem v'shlucha, so that's also called a nishba lebatlos haMitzvah. Then he quotes that there's one opinion. And the Yerushalmi that when you construct your own sukkah, recite a bracha shekadosham sasvanu alasiyas hasukkah. I remember once we were in Eretz Yisrael for sukkahs. We were staying in someone else's home. Staying a relative wasn't from Canada, wasn't there, so he let us use his home. And the only place to put the sukkah was in the backyard, and there was a tree on top. So he gave us permission to cut down the branches that were, a little bit of the branches that would pose a problem. So my wife saw there was a sign in the grocery store that if you need any help trimming a tree for the sukkah, she called this number. So my wife called the number. They sent over an Arab. So the Arab cut down he trimmed all the trees that we needed. And then he says, he knows all about it, he does from Rabbi Al-Yashiv in this one, he knows all the Rabbi, he knows how to. So he puts his sleeve on top of his head, he says, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. So my wife said, what's that all about? I said, Asiti Mitzvah. He knows that he didn't know how to finish it, just Melech Ha'olam. He just said that. So there is one opinion in Yerushalmi like that. Not when you cut off the branches. There's an opinion in Rishami that you recite such a bracha la siyas ha-sukkah. We don't paskin like that opinion. There's such an opinion in the Bavli also. When you tie tzitzis on a garment, that's a hechshir mitzvah. Also hakosa bater. Also lahem tzitzis ha-kavivigah. Mitzvah is not to tie the tzitzis. Mitzvah is to wear the tzitzis. But that's a hechshir mitzvah hakosa bater. So you wouldn't say mitzvah bo yes, mivshluchot, you should shear off the wool from the animal. You should twine it and make it into strings. You should dye the trelis blue. That you don't say mitzvah bo yosem v'shlucha, but to tie the strings onto the garment, if you know how to do it, so it's preferable to tie the string separately and the garment separately, and tie it on yourself if you know how. That's what the Netziv said. That's also mitzvah bo yosem v'shlucha, because that's a hechshir mitzvah kosabatar. So the Gemara Menachos has one opinion in the Amoraim that when you tie the chutim onto the beged, you recite the birchas hamitzvah. We don't paskin like that. We paskin only a mitzvah shasiyasa, gemar mitzvah. If it's not just a hachana, it's not gemar mitzvah. It's only a hechsha mitzvah. Birchas hamitzvah is not recited. But the Netziv has this fantastic chiddush. He gives a whole bunch of nafkaminas that we declare that the asiyas hasukkah, any other hechsha mitzvah, kasva Torah, has the status of a semi mitzvah. And again, it's a certain deal. Yeah, do you require asiyas hasukkah lushma? So that's a machlekes b'shamay and b'silov. B'shamay say if it wasn't made lushma, it's not kosher. Lushma goes on the schach, not on the tasu lamin. Also only goes on the schach. It doesn't go on the defana. So an example of mamish tasu lamin osi that sukkah that we were in Eretz Yisrael. One of my daughters got married in Eretz Yisrael. After high school, she went to Eretz Yisrael for shana aleph, shana bet, shana gimel. She's still there. After six children, she's still there. So she got married to an Israeli in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So he stayed for Sukkot. So that Sukkot It was boring. It was very unusual. It was raining, and it was very windy, and a lot of people had sukkahs in their hotel, porches in the hotel or in the apartment buildings, and the schach flew down on the ground. So sometimes, some of them, the schach flew and fell down on top of the sukkah that was on a lower level, which had its schach fell on the floor, fell on the ground. So that's literally tasa v'lemehas. The schach flew, the wind blew it down on top. So some of the rabbanim said, no, that it's kosher. Why? Because there's a machlekes harishayin, and what if you put the schach on top of the sukkah? Everything was done behechsher, and then it starts to rain, so you put a cover on top. You put a plastic cover, you put a wooden roof on top. Then when it stops raining, so you take the cover off. So some rishayim hold, the Mordechai quotes, some rishayim hold that that's tasa v'lemehas asui. If you take off the cover, and now the sukkah becomes kosher, Bozman, that the cover was on, you can't fulfill a mitzvah in the sukkah. It's like a sukkah inside the house. It's not good. Sukkah shetachas ha'ilu, a sukkah under the ceiling, is no good. But then, by taking off the roof that covers the schach, so then the sukkah becomes kosher. So somehow that's tasa l'manos. So we paskan that it's not possible. We paskan that since chilos hanochas ha'schach was behechsher, when you place the schach, it was a good sukkah. If I would put the schach on top of the sukkah while the roof is on, then I take the roof off. So tchilas ha'anochas ha'schach was b'psul. It was under the roof, so that's not kosher. But when I put the schach on, there is no roof on top. And then I put the roof on, then I remove it. So since tchilas ha'anochas ha'schach was b'hechsher, so that's good. So that's what some of the rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael said, that since the schach was placed on the upper sukkah, on the sixth floor, b'hechsher, so later on when it flies down on top of the sukkah on the fourth floor, so that's kosher because tchilas ha'anochas ha'schach was b'hechsher. I think that's absolutely incorrect. It was tchilas ha'anochas ha'schach was on the sukkah on the sixth floor. What does God do with the sukkah on the fourth floor? Sukkah on the fourth floor, tchilas ha'asiyas ha'schach was b'psul. That's literally tasu l'minos. Anyway, if you put on the shlak, the roof, in Yiddish, a shlak is the roof, put on the roof on top of the schach, then you take it off. So people want to be machmir, you shouldn't do it on Yom Tov, but on Chol Hamoed, there is room to be machmir, to pick up all the schach and to put it out again. Because in the Mordechai, there is an opinion that that's tasav lamin osu. But we pass in halacha that that's not a problem. Because of tasav lamin osu, so there are more quotes of chumrah from one of the achrayinim, that you should first put up the walls and then put up the schach. Sometimes it's easier to put the schach first and then the walls, so the Rama treats that like tasav lamin ha'asu, that when you put the schach, then no defanis, so the sukkah is not kosher. Then you machshe the sukkah by putting up the walls as opposed to putting up the schach. The schach should be placed last. Question is whether this is this chumra that the achrayim came up with, this is really medina, this is really a chumra, just like hatchila, it really passes by the end. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Bach, who says that it's only lechatchila, and he quotes the din. He sounds like he really holds like that. He writes the din and he puts Bach in parentheses. He doesn't say habach kosar. He quotes the din and he tells you the makar is the Bach. He seems to hold like that. That's the pashtus. That it's only lechatchila, doesn't pass the b'riyev. Some of the achrayim hold that it even passes b'riyev.
Okay, can you just lift it up?
Yeah, you have to pick it up. If the schach was put before the tfanis, if you want to be machmer, for that opinion, you can pick it up at tefa. Pick everything up at tefa. Make a new hanachas on schach.
Doesn't the Gemara say that if you misach in hatap pasei ve'ra'os, that works only because it's a double? So it sounds like the schach is before the tfanis.
Yeah, befevish. There are a few Gemaras that seem to say befevish that if the schach was put, the tfanis were. The schach was put before the tfanis, that it is good. Pashat the Gemara seem to contradict this. The Achrayim have two roots, but the Pashta says that it's not so. Yeah, where did Beis Shammai get their opinion from that the schach has to be placed in Shmo? It says chag asukas tasa lecho. And the Torah Shabbat Peh gives the additional level of interpretation. In that pasuk, that it goes on hanochas haschach, goes on asiyas hasukah. The pshut shel mikra, it doesn't go on construction of the sukkah, it goes on celebrating the yontif. You should celebrate sukkahs for a duration of 7 days. But the Torah Shabbat Peh gave the additional level of interpretation that pasuk is talking about asiyas ha-sukkah, and the word sukkah means the schach, not the tfanis. There's several of the dinim I learned from there. So the word lechot, chag zus tasa lecho, So Rabbi Shammai have the opinion, the shame mitzvah, the shame chayva. What did Bishila do with that word locha? So the Rashba has an interpretation on the Gemara. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Rashba, Allah al Maisa, very surprising. Pasha Pshat is not like the Rashba, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Rashba, that Beis Hillel agree with Beis Shammai with respect to Chal Shem Shammayim al HaSukkah, he'll only become hooked in the mitzvah if he built it l'shma. If he didn't put the sukkah up l'shma, then true, the sukkah will be kosher, but it'll be there's a ger and there's a ger tzedek. Let's say a non-Jew wants to marry a Jewish spouse. So, okay, so he reads about Judaism, he converts, they keep mitzvahs, okay, but he wasn't really fired up. He didn't convert out of a whole excitement, out of a whole commitment on his own to fall in love with the Jewish religion. The kosher, he said, that's a ger, but that's not a ger tzedek. A ger tzedek, that is a haftamus ager, a special mitzvah, haftamus ager, is only if it's a ger tzedek. Person converted because they want to marry a Jewish person, so that's have to go out of the way to show special avodah to that person, not necessarily. So a ger tzedek is one who is all excited about the Jewish religion, converted, not because of some ulterior motive. So the Rashba holds it over here also. There's a sukkah, and there's a sukkah that's chal shem shamayim mala sukkah. A plain sukkah that I just use a sukkah that the children use as a hut to play games in. So that'll be a kosher sukkah, but it won't be hooked in the mitzvah. It'll only be hooked in the mitzvah if it was constructed l'shem mitzvah. That's how the Rashba interpreted the Gemara. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that la'alocha. The Pashta says that we shouldn't have passed like that. There arise some other places in Shav Pashtas we shouldn't have passed. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes that la'alocha, and then he has a chiddush on top of it, which I'll be Pashtas others disagree with, that if I put the sukkah up l'shmo shnas tavshin ayin zayin, and it stands all year long, and next year I want to sit the sukkah tavshin ayin ches, abol leinu l'tayva, next sukkahs, you have to pick up the schach and put it out again. That I put it l'shem mitzvah this year, that's only good for this year. And then all year long, it's not a sukkah, so then when it comes next sukkah, so I have to put the schach again l'shem mitzvah. It's a chiddush on top of the chiddush. Pashtus is we shouldn't have passed like the whole Rashba in the first place. It's in Yerideya. This issue is discussed in Yerideya. So the Pashtus is we shouldn't have passed like the Rashba, the Ramban. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes it like that.
What difference does it make to be
passing
like the Rashba?
Is it hooked in the mitzvah or not? If you have a sukkah which was not put up, Nochrim put up the schach. So the Gemara says, Sukkos Gambach Rakbash, Gambach is a Rashidet, it's Gimel Nun, Beis Chof, Goyim, Noshim, Gambach, what's Beis? Behemoth. So I made a sukkah for Behemoth. Doesn't mean the Behemoth made the sukkah. Sukkos Goyim means the Goyim made the sukkah. Noshim, the women made the sukkah. And then the Beis is, I made a sukkah for Behemoth. And Chof is Kusim, the Kusim made the sukkah. So Sukkos Gambach is kosher, but according to the Rashba, it's a kosher sukkah. But it's not hooked to the mitzvah, so you can use the schach for, in the middle of sukkahs, you can use it for divrei chov. Then Yerideya, the shach quotes the machloikas, and he says, we really don't paskin like that. The Mishnah has a whole machloikas, the Gemara has a whole machloikas in the first parak. How many defanas do you need? Shtaim kolchasim ushlishas afil tefach, or sholosh kolchasim avias afil tefach. So the later Achrenim say that we shouldn't really get involved in that, that L'chatchila more correct is to make a sukkah with arba tefanos, because it's not so poshut. This shlishis, afilu tefach, you got to know a lot of dinim in order to be machshel such a sukkah. And so they say L'chatchila you should have a sukkah with four tefanos. Taisa discusses why isn't that a violation of Bal Tosef. Since it did in Shtaim Kelchasim shlishis afilu tefach, so if you have four tefanos, it should be a violation of Bal Tosef. So Taisa says that that's a joke. Shtaim kachasim shnafilat tefach is the minimum. If you have more, it's not bal teisiv. If you eat a slight amount of matzah more than a kezayis, you're in violation of bal teisiv. It's not bal teisiv. Kezayis is a minimum. So here also, this is the minimum. That's not a kasha. Teisiv explained. That's not a kasha. The tefanos have to reach within three tefachim to the ground. That's the machlokes hatanoim. In the Mishnah, we pasken against Rabbi Yosi. That's called the mechitza teluya. The mechitza suspended in midair. Is it doesn't reach within love, it doesn't reach within to be talking to the ground. So it's a machlokes hatanaim by Shabbos. Is it good to make a mishus hayochid? Machlekes HaTanoim by Sukkah. The Gemara discusses, is it identical? The Machlekes, there is the room to distinguish, but it doesn't make a difference. We pass on that it's no good by both. A Mechitza Tluya that doesn't reach within 3-12 under the ground is neither good by Sukkah nor is it good by Shabbos to create a Rishus HaYochid. That's why the Shulchan Aruch has a chumrah that you shouldn't use cloth for the fanas, because you may not tie it down well on the bottom. Then the wind will be blowing, and the wind will blow, so it won't be hanging within 3 tefachim to the ground. So it won't be a kosher sukkah. That's really a question whether it really applies to the sukkahs that are manufactured specially with holes and with strings, and they tell you tie this and right, tie it down over there. It's manufactured like that. So questionable, but it's not the Tanoim didn't make a gzeira over here that you say it's a loy plug. The Rishonim said, the recommendation, you shouldn't do it. So that's why many people today use these canvas sukkahs and they tie everything down. If the wall is very shaky, if it's wood, shakes a little bit. Everything shakes a little bit, even without an earthquake. But everything shakes. But if you have canvas walls that shake a lot, so that's a question. Is that called mechitzu shein yichal lamed b'fnei ruach mitzuyah? So the classical poskim say that all the traditional poskim, Mishnah Berurah quotes, that if you have a wall that's shaking back and forth like a canvas or a cloth, that's questionable. So the Chazanish thinks that it's not so. Chazanish, whenever he disagrees with everybody, he doesn't have any rights. So he writes mistimas divrei haposkim mashma. Not true. All the poskim say against the Chazanish. That's what he writes. Mistimas divrei haposkim mashma. That if you have a mechitzu shein yichal lamed b'ruach mitzuya, what it means is that if the wind is going to blow and it's not going to be within 3 tefachim to the ground, but if it's going to, the wind will huff and puff and it's not going to blow it down. Even with the wind blowing, it's still going to be within 3 tefachim to the ground. So then the Chazon Ish thinks that that's good, both by Shabbos and by Sukkah. That's why in Eretz Yisrael they're often makel, especially in the army comes to a location late Friday afternoon. And they can't go make an air of the way they'd like to, so they just take nets. They have gigantic nets that they used to trap terrorists, used to trap people. So they take big nets, and the big nets are crisscrossed within level to each other. They just take the nets, and they take them around all the trees, around the whole area where they want to carry. The wind is blowing. The net is going to bellow in and out, the feet apart from each other. It's going to keep on blowing with the wind. But even if it blows and it blows, it's always on the ground and it's always 10 tefachim tall. So the Chazon Ish says that that's acceptable. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes all the classical poskim who assume that that's not acceptable. So the Shaila is, but every sukkah shakes a little bit, even if there's not an earthquake. Every sukkah shakes, even wood also shakes a little bit. So a little bit doesn't bother us. How much can it shake that it doesn't bother us? So some say within 3 tefachim to where it should have been. That's not really the din of lovut. Lovut is that something is within 3 tefachim to something, not something within 3 tefachim where there's an imaginary line. But some say within 1 tefach, within 3 tefachim. So that's the shaila. If you have a canvas cloth wall, and the wind blows significantly, it just blows 2 inches this way, 2 inches that way. So every sukkah blows a little bit. But if it blows significantly, more than a tefach away from should it be, more than 3 tefachim away. So then the Chazon Ish said that it's okay, and others hold that it's not acceptable. No, if it blows 3 tefachim away from where it should have been, if it would have been straight, according to the pull of gravity, so then it's called Einich, according to many poskim, till the Chazon Ish, that's called Mechitzu Shein Yichal Lamed B'Fnei Ruach Mitzuyah. Then there's another din, let's say in 44 Bennett, the building next to my building, I live in 24 Bennett, so they have a big sukkah that they always use for all of the tenants. So in recent years, when it comes sukkahs, it's a ghost town. There's hardly anybody left, because everybody goes to their children or their parents. So hardly anybody needs a sukkah, but they make a gigantic sukkah. So I remember one year, they decided they don't need every seat in the whole big sukkah, so they only need in the middle. So they only put tzchach in the middle. They weren't going to put tzchach all the way around anyway. So that's the Mishnah, that's not acceptable. The tzchach has to be within 3 tefachim to the tfanis. If the schach is not within three tvachim lava to the tvanis, then the tvanis and the schach are not mitzur to each other, then it's not a kosher sukkah. You have to spread out. You have to spread out the schach all over the whole sukkah. You can't just put schach where the people are going to sit and ignore the rest of the tvanis. You have to have schach touching all of the, within three tvachim, to all of the tvanis. We pasken la locha in Shulchan Aruch that if you have schach kosher, giving shade on an area, and you have schach posel either above it or below it, doesn't matter who came first. Some Rishonim say it depends who came first. We pasken doesn't make a difference whether the schach kosher was there first or the schach posel was there first. If you have schach kosher on top of schach posel, or the other way around, giving shade on the same area, you can't fulfill a mitzvah under that spot. So we treat the schach kosher as if it would also be schach posel. Let's say sometimes you have there's a porch on top. I'm on a lower floor, and the porch on the lower floor extends further out than the porch on the upper floor. So the floor of the porch upstairs covers half the sukkah from the sukkah down below it. So even if you have schach over there, but it's not going to be kosher schach. You can't sit over there because there's a porch on top. It's a sukkah shel tachas habayis. It's not acceptable. Years ago, that was a common practice. Now, I don't know, maybe it's still the same, that in Reform and conservative temples, they would make a sukkah on the bima. And on Leil Yontif, the chazan would say kiddush, leisha basukkah on the bima, right after Meir. He would sit down and take a sip of the wine. Leisha basukkah, there was a sukkah. It's a sukkah b'toch habayis. That's not acceptable. The Mishnah says if you build a sukkah under a tree, that's not, just as not acceptable as oisa sukkah b'toch habayis. But that's elementary. Sukkah Tach HaBayis, that's everybody knows that. That's no good. Even a sukkah under the branches of the tree is also no good. So the Mishnah has a din. The Gemara has developed a whole machloka. The Gemara has a din that if you have schach posel in the middle of the sukkah, if it's four tvachim, then it passels the sukkah. What do you mean it passels the sukkah? If you have four tvachim, it's schach posel, so you can't sit over there. But why does it passel the sukkah? So Tosis explains. Let's say you have a sukkah that only has three walls. Let's say the sukkah only has these three walls, and I have schach posel in the middle. Let's say I have metal bars in the middle. So for four tefachim or more, a width of four tefachim or more. So then, it divides the sukkah in half. So this sukkah only has two walls, and this sukkah only has two walls. If this would have been schach kosher, so you have all the three walls relate to everything in the sukkah. But if you have in the middle the width of four tefachim or more of schach posel, that cuts the sukkah in half. So this sukkah only has these two walls, this sukkah only has those two walls, so you can't sit anywhere. And that yotze the mitzvah at all. If you have schach posel on the side, let's say I built the sukkah and there's a porch on top, and the porch covers the schach. I have four walls over here, and I have schach, kosher schach on top of my sukkah. But the first couple of feet of my sukkah are under the porch on top. So I treat the first couple of feet as if that's posel schach, because it's under the porch. So it's not has schach posel on top of it. So the Gemara explains the Mishnah explains it then. If it's less than Dalar Amos, up until Dalar Amos, we have the right to say Doifen Akuma. So I say we consider it as if the wall of the sukkah that goes over here bends over. And as if the posel schach that's up until and not including four ames is an extension of the wall, and then the schach kosher is over here. So if the schach kosher has zayin al zayin tvachim, so then you have a kosher sukkah. But if it's four ames or more, then you can't say doifen akum anymore. Doifen akum is halacha moshe misina only up until dalar ames. That's how the Mishnah says. There is a machlekes hatanoim. And the first daf in sukkah keeps on coming up every 10 blot. The Gemara keeps on referring to that machlekes. Machlekes are bira nachachamim in akotza lakotza, whether the sukkah has to dafke be diras keva or dafke be diras aroi. So we paskin dafke diras aroi, and diras keva would be pasul. So one nachkamin is whether you put a mezuzah, or you mechuyif to put a mezuzah on a sukkah. That's a menochas. That's not quoted in Masech HaSukkah, but it's the same machlekes as Yudah Nachachamim. According to Rabbi Yudah's opinion that the sukkah has to be a diras keva, so then a diras keva is chayv and mezuzah. And we paskin just the reverse. The sukkah has to be diras aroi, and if it's keva, then it's pasul. So we say that you're not mechuyif to put and mezuzah on the sukkah. There's several other nafkaminas ledina as well. The first Mishnah says that a sukkah has to be tzilasa meruba mechamasa. If you have more sunshine than you have shade, so by definition, that's not called a sukkah. The word sukkah means schach. The word schach means that it's meitzel, that it makes shade. So if there's more sunshine than there is shade, that's not kosher. The question is, where do you measure this, that there's more sunshine than there is shade? You measure on the schach. You take the schach and you look at it, let's say you have a mat. So you say you have more area covered than you have holes. So that's tzilasim ruben hamas. Or they say, no, you measure on the floor. Because the Gemara raises the possibility when the sun is shining, so the sun rays will expand. So you have more sun on the floor than you're going to have on top. If the schach is very high, schach can be up until 20 amas high. 20 amas is very, very high. So if the schach is very high up, anything less than 20 amas, then it's going to hardly make any shade at all. So that's a question. So there are Hashulchan writes that it depends on the floor. And everybody says that it's probably not correct. The simple reading in the Gemara is not like that. That it doesn't depend on the floor, it depends on the schach. If the schach is amid merub al haparetz, it's tzilasa merub hamasa by the schach, even though when you sit on the ground, there's more sunshine than there is shade, Pashta says that it would be kosher. I remember I was one summer I was reading, there's a two-volume biography of Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky. So they write that when he was a teenager, somebody convinced him to go learn in Navardic. So he went to Navardic to learn. But instead of learning in the Beis Medrash, this they don't explain. Instead of learning in the Beis Medrash, he learned in the shul all day long. And then he became friendly with the author of the Aruch HaShulchan, and he gave him smicha at the age of 17, because he saw that he knows halacha also. So they described there the way the Aruch HaShulchan sat. He sat in shul all day long in case people have shilas. He should be available to answer all the shilas. He's sitting and writing his chibur without looking up the Gemaras. When he didn't remember, then he would look it up. So I was telling this over. I was sitting next to someone telling over what I read in this biography. The guy says, oh, no wonder he made a mistake. Because he didn't look back at him. I said, what mistakes? He tells me this one. About this Aruch HaShulchan. That he said he heard from Rabbanim and Eretz, from Rabban Yashiv and others, that the Aruch HaShulchan is not correct. I thought on my own it wasn't correct. Anyway, they told me big Rabbanim said that this Aruch HaShulchan is not correct. The mitzvah to sit in sukkah is a mitzvah like every mitzvah. There's a machlekes where the mitzvah sichas kavana, mitzvah saying sichas kavana. Even if your mitzvah sichas kavana, the radvaz hachatz, the Magen Avraham quotes, the radvaz makes a compromise. The mitzvahs deraisa need kavana, mitzvahs derabana don't need kavana. Tosfos in Psachim writes that there are two different sugyas. One is in Psachim and one is in Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara never quoted all the raya's in one place. How come this sugya quotes those raya's, that sugya quotes those raya's? The Torah says there are two different topics. One is mitzvahs deraisa, where they need kavana. One is the mitzvahs. Psachim is only talking about mitzvahs derabana. So that's what the radvaz paskins like the melchamas and brachas, that we distinguish between mitzvahs deraisa and mitzvahs derabana. So let's say if you hold mitzvahs deraisa, tzichas kavana. Say, just have to have kavana lotzeis. I know that this is a mitzvah, I have to do the mitzvah. Do you have to have kavana for the tam mitzvah? Say, if Achinuch always gives you the tam mitzvah, you have to have kavana for the tam. We assume you don't have to. So that Bach has a fantastic Kiddush that the Tur, the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, the Tur writes that when you sit in the Sukkah, the Kavana is, L'man Yedu Derasechen, Kep Sukkah Sashavta, Yisrael, Yisrael, there's a Machlekes HaTanoim, whether the word Basukkah in that Pasuk refers to the Anani HaKova, or refers to Sukkah's Mamash. So it's a Machlekes HaTanoim, the different gears is who the Tanoim are, who said which way. So the Tur says that we accept La Locha, that it means Anani Yaakovah. What do you mean we accept La Locha? How is it Nagir La Locha? What's an Afkamina Ladina? Whether the word Sukkah in the Pasuk means Anani Yaakovah, what the Torah writing, it's Agarata. The Torah only writes Alocha. So the Bach has this famous comment, whenever the Torah seems to assume, whenever the Chumash gives a reason for the mitzvah, then everybody agrees you have to have Kavana for the Tama mitzvah. Because it says, you should sit the Sukkah, Basukkah, Stesh, for Laman. Yet there are second, so you have to have that in mind. So what are you supposed to have in mind? That the Rebbeinu Shlom held the Jewish people in Sukkahs, or you had them in Anani Yaakovit? So the Torah takes a stand. He thinks that we should pass like the Tana, that it refers to the Anani Yaakovit. That's a big Chiddush. There are other mitzvahs also where the Torah seems to give the reason for the mitzvah. So a few mitzvahs according to that Bach, each case where the Torah gives the reasons. He's supposed to have kavana for the tam ha-mitzvah, and the Bach thinks that it's likuvan. That's a chiddush. Moshe Przewoski has a new business this year that just like everybody knows, there's a kisa shel Elio by a bris. So somebody showed him that the Mekubalim recommend you should have a kisa for the Ushpizim. Every night of Sukkot, the Zohar says a different one of the seven guests come to visit in the Sukkah, an invisible guest. So just like Eliyahu, now he comes to the bris. He's not visible, but we have a chair for him. He doesn't need the chair, but we want to demonstrate that we're inviting Eliyahu Navi. They should have the kisa shel Ushpizim, and every night you should put a different cloak, a different shmata on the chair. This is tonight the guest is Avraham Avinu, the next night is Yitzchak Avinu, and so on. So if you want only for $100, he can give you the whole set. Beautiful set. Apparently, a lot of mukubalim go for this. See the Shirebis, we got all excited about this. So Moshe made it available now. Okay. That I don't know. No, the kosher shel Aliyah doesn't mean Aliyah Navi comes. I don't think there are any midrashim say that. Aliyah Navi comes to the bris, that says in the midrash. Kosher shel Aliyah means a different thing. There's a question whether he's supposed to have arba kosher or chamish kosher. So if you say when Eliyahu HaNavi will come, he'll tell us what the din is. Like Tishbi Yitaritz Kushis Vabaris. Eliyahu HaTishbi will come and he'll tell us what he's supposed to have. And maybe when Eliyahu HaNavi will come, then it'll make more sense to have the fifth kois. Because there are Dalo Deshen Shalgulu, it says Yitzalta Vigalta Vilakachti, and it says Behevesi Eschem Al Ha'aretz. So why isn't there a kois Chamishi? The answer is because the Ribbono Shel Olam kicked us out of Eretz Yisrael. But when Eliyahu HaNavi will come, we're going to come back. And we won't be exiled again. So then we'll have five cases. But I don't think I don't think there are any midrashim that say Eliyahu HaNavi comes to visit on Pesach night. We put aside the fifth coat. But it's not that he drinks it, it's not that he comes. I don't think so. But the Ushpizin, according to the law, the Ushpizin come to visit then the Sukkah. So the Mekubalim say you should make it shir for them. The main mitzvah is Teshuva came to do Basukah. Teshuva came to Dura. You have to be comfortable in the sukkah. So in Yiddish, they used to say that just like everybody talks lashon hara in the house, if you sit in the sukkah, you don't talk lashon hara, you're not yotze the mitzvah. So that's why the Mishnah Berurah writes, especially you're not allowed to talk lashon hara, because that's a dava meguna. Other achaim say, you're not allowed to talk sikha betela in the sukkah. Makes life impossible. Can't talk sikha betela in the sukkah. Because that's a dava shal ganai. You're not allowed to diaper a baby in the sukkah. Some say you're not allowed to take in a baby who's in diapers if he has a dirty diaper. Not allowed to take him in. Just like you're not allowed to take in shul, I don't know if the women upstairs know that, that you're not allowed to take a baby into the shul if he has a dirty diaper. So too they say, not like chal shem shemayim, ala sukkah is just like in Beis HaKnesses, you shouldn't take a baby in a diaper into the sukkah either. Because chal shem shemayim, ala sukkah. But,
you have a garbage can in the sukkah? You keep a garbage can in the sukkah?
If it's covered, okay. If it's covered, but let's say the Gemara says when you finish eating the food, let's say you bring in a hot pot of soup, and you finish serving the soup, or you stick in a hot pot with all of the chicken on it, whatever. So if you finish serving, you shouldn't leave the hot pot there. When you finish, you shouldn't leave the dirty plates there, because if it would be in your own house, you wouldn't leave the dirty plates there. You would take the plates away. The glasses, after you finish drinking, you may decide you want to drink some more. But the plates, you should take away as soon as you finish using the plate. Unless you think someone wants to eat some more, then you leave the plates. But after you know for sure no one's going to eat. Let's say you've already finished eating, you bench, and now you're going to sit and learn. So you shouldn't learn with the dirty plates there. That's not normal. So that's Teshuva Kein Toduru. That's why the Gemara talks about Noye Sukkah. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, it's not merely the mitzvah of Zakel v'anveyu, that noye mitzvah. You should have a nice pair of tefillin, have a nice tefillin zekel, a nice talit zekel. Everything should be nice. By sukkah, it's an added consideration that it enhances the teshuva kein tadur. Just like in your house, you have photographs on the wall to make it look interesting, or you have paintings on the wall. So in the sukkah, also you should have something. I don't know, painting's not so smart. It can rain here in America, so paintings may get ruined. Also, psukim, the Magen Avraham says you shouldn't hang psukim in the sukkah. He gives two reasons. The one reason is that it may rain and it may fall down on the floor. Then it's going to be in the mud. The psukim are going to be in the mud. Then he says, number two, you're never allowed to write next to less than a sefer shalom. You're not permitted to write a pasuk. It's not right. A lot of shuls have the mental of this of the sefer Torah. They have a pasuk written haftalach kamocha or something. So if the people in that shul really, because they see this every day, 3 days a week, they see the haftalach kamocha and they have more avasi saw than everybody else, then it would be letzorech. I don't know if they have more avasi saw than everybody else. The Gemara said, if you really need it, when they go to write less than a sefer shalom. But really, it's not correct. It's not right. A lot of people have on a talis zekel, they have osala and tzitzis on a talis zekel. On a tefillin zekel, they have psukim about tefillin, or an esrik box, they have a posuk about an esrik. It's not really right. You're not allowed to write less than a sefer shalom. Yeah, that's a problem. Shvi'is Hashem is a posuk. That is a problem. The first night of Sukkot, there is one version in Tosfos that there's a mitzvah to eat, even if you're mitztayer. Even if it's raining in the Sukkot, you also eat. So the early Achronim say that they say brachos aleishav Sukkot. We don't pass like that. The Pashtus says that it's at least a machlokes. At least Pashtus says we don't pass like that. But even if you do, it's b'torah sofik that you mechuyev to eat in the Sukkot even in the rain. So you know, if it's raining, you don't say brach. Yeah. Teishu kein tadur. That's not normal. If it's raining, so there's no kiyum on mitzvah. The Rambam writes that when you say Kiddush on Leil Sukkot, you should say the Kiddush in the standing position because the bracha Leisha Basukkah should be recited over Asiyasim. Leisha means to sit down in the Sukkah. So you should say the bracha Leisha Basukkah, you say the whole Kiddush standing up because Leisha Basukkah goes on the sitting in the Sukkah. The Rosh quotes the Rambam and he disagrees. He said the word leishiv doesn't mean to sit down in the sukkah. Leishiv means yeshva b'kodesh yomim rabim. The Rosh quotes. It means that they were sitting in kodesh. They weren't sitting. They were running around in the city kodesh. They stayed there for many years. Leishiv means lehisakei, means to spend time in the sukkah. He doesn't think that it's correct. If you really want to say a bracha, evel asiyas, we say the bracha before you walk into the sukkah. No, we don't do that. So we say the bracha before. The beginning of the whole meal, the beginning of the meal. But to say, you got to say the bracha before you sit down. So that's the Rambam, that it's mashma from that Rambam, is if all your long Kiddush is really recited in a sitting position, they say, because one had Kiddush b'makom suda, literally, going to eat the suda in a sitting position. And on Leil Sukkot, it sounds from the Rambam that Sukkot is the exception to the rule. And because the Rosh disagreed with the Rambam, so those who always recite Kiddush in a sitting position do the same on Sukkot night as well. They say the Kiddush in a sitting position. Kiddush Mamak Masuda, they say. Strictly speaking, you can stay standing also, but you don't gain anything on Pesach, on Sukkot's night. You don't really gain anything because we really follow the Rosh. But the Rambam is a pella, the word Leishibas, Masuka's Teshu, the Rambam translates it means to sit. Nah, the Rambam also understands that it means Lehisake the Sukkot. Also, Leishi just said, probably the Rambam means that you need a maisa mesuyim. Let's say a guy's going to walk into a sukkah, he paces back and forth when he thinks and learns. He's going to walk into the sukkah and pace back and forth. So there's no, he's walking around, a big sukkah, he's walking around. Let's say they're going to walk in a sukkah, they're going to dance. They're going to simchas beis hasheva, they're going to listen to Adar, they're going to stand and they're going to dance. So the Rambam perhaps means that you have to, in order to recite the bracha, it's not enough that you have a kiyum on mitzvah. Let's say, have avas Hashem, have yiras Hashem. So you don't say bracha on that. You only say bracha when you do a maisa ha-mitzvah. When you have a kiyum on mitzvah, without a maisa ha-mitzvah, you don't say bracha. So the Rambam perhaps holds that you need a maisa mesuyam. Not enough that the guy's going to be walking back and forth, and he's going to be dancing around. Maybe he holds that to sit, not that he translates leisha basuka, to sit. Basuka's teshva, he translates to sit. It means the hisakev. But maybe the Rama thinks that you need a yeshiva that should be a maisa mesuyim to enable you to recite a bracha.
Eating
in a standing position. I don't know. Anyway, that is the Rambam. The Rama thinks that on Sukkot night, sounds like all year long Kiddush is recited sitting, and Sukkot night is an exception to the rule. So those who follow that shita, they sit. So they sit on sukkahs also. They don't follow that chiddush of the Rambam. They follow the Rosh. And a lot of the machzorim, a lot of the sidurim, they quote what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that on the first night, the Gemara is a whole machlokes. Which bracha should you say first and which last? You say kiddush, you say bor peh gofen. And then kiddush, shabach habanim kalam, kiddush v'yantav. And then you got to say lesh basuk and shachiyah. So which one do you say first? So at the end of the Gemara Sukkah, it's a machlokes on the Gemara. And the Hilchos, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that you say first lesh basuk and then you say shachiyah no leis. So in a lot of the Sidurim, they quote from the Shulchan Aruch, second night you reverse the order. First you say shachiyah and then you say lesh basuk leis. Why? What's the Kabbalah over here? What's the Soid over here? So they explain what it's all about. The first night, the Shechyanu serves as a double role. It's Shechyanu on the Yontif. He says Shechyanu on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He says Shechyanu on Yom Kippur. Not in connection with any mitzvah at all. Just on the Simchas on Yontif. So on the first night of Sukkot, say Shechyanu on Yontif. Then you say Shechyanu on the Asiyas on Sukkot. If the person constructed his own Sukkot. So strictly speaking, when he builds the sukkah, he could have said shachyanu. When you build your own home, you say shachyanu. If you build a little doghouse, you probably do not say shachyanu. It doesn't have that much chashivas. But you build a little sukkah and you're going to do a mitzvah there, so that's chashivas. You buy underwear, you don't say a bracha shachyanu. You buy a new suit, then the Gemara says you say shachyanu. It has to be a ksabegat chashuv. So a sukkah is considered a house bayis chashuv because you use it to perform a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, really, you should have said Shachyanu when you construct the sukkah. But since on Leil Yantav, you're going to say Kiddush over a cup of wine, so if you say the Shachyanu over the cup of wine, you'll enhance the Hashivas of the Shachyanu. Same thing with the Shachyanu on the Yantav, the Gemara says, Amra Afila Bashuk, you can really say it like we did on Leil Yom Kippur. So you can do the same on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot also. Everybody after Ma'ariv and Shul, before Ma'ariv, after Ma'ariv, they'll all say Shachyanu. Here we said before Baruch Hu. So you can say Shachyanu and Shul. And you'll be yotze. But the Gemara says, you may as well save it for the Kiddush, so you'll enhance the Hashivas of the Shachyanu, that you drink a toast. It's a bracha ala kos. So that's what the Gemara said. Really, you should say Shachyanu when you built your sukkah. But you save it till you say Kiddush. But on the second night, so the Shachyanu only goes on the Yantav. He already said Shachyanu on the Asiyas HaSukkah on the first night. So therefore, the Shachyanu doesn't go back on both on the Yontif and on the Sukkah. It only goes on the Yontif. So she say Lesha Basukah last. She says Shachyanu right after the Yontif. Shabbach Habanim Kalam. Then you say Lesha Basukah last. So the Mishnah Bura quotes that a lot of the Lithuanian Achrayim differ with the Shulchan Aruch. The Vilna Gaon is not the only one. A lot of Achrayim disagree and they say no, the second night should be the same as the first night. You should say the same order. You shouldn't reverse the Seder. A lot of people have it like this. The first day's Yontif, they eat by their children in a different city. They have their own sukkah. Then they're going to come back on Chalamai. They're going to eat their own sukkah. So they never said Shachyanu when they put up the sukkah. They didn't say Shachyanu on the first night. They said Shachyanu on the Yontif. There are really three Shachyanus over here. Shachyanu on the Yontif, Shachyanu on Eisei Bayis Liatzmo, it's a Bayis Choshev, it's not like a doghouse, because you use it for a mitzvah. And then Shachyanu on the fulfillment of the mitzvah, having fulfilled the mitzvah in a year. Last time we sat in Sukkah was last year. So when I'm going out of town, I'm going to eat in someone else's Sukkah. So the first night of Sukkah is on Yotze, two out of the three Shachyanus. Shachyanu on the mitzvah of Sukkah, having sat in Sukkah in a year. Shachyanu on the Yontif, but the Shachyanu on Asiyas HaSukkah, if I put up my own Sukkah, I wasn't Yotze then. I'm out of town. I'm nowhere near my own Sukkah. So then when you come back in Chol HaMoed, then you should really say Shachyanu on Chol HaMoed, on your own Sukkah. That's what it says, sounds like it says that in the Shulchan Aruch. That people don't, in the days of the Shulchan, the days of the Mishnah Berurah, they never had this. People went away. The first 2 days, they're not home. Then they come back to their own sukkah in the middle of Yontif. They never had such a shayla. But by us, it's very common. Since the Pashto says, you got to say Shachyanu again.
Can't you have in mind your own sukkah? If I'm away, if someone else, can't I have in mind my own sukkah at home with that Shachyanu?
I think if he would have said Shachyanu when he constructed the sukkah, when he put on the schach, that would have been better. You have to, let's say I bought a new suit, and they fixed it for me, and it's hanging in the closet, and I'm 500 miles away. So I can say Shachyanu on the Beged Chadash. It's nowhere near. I'm nowhere near the Beged Chadash. I can say the Shachyanu. I'm going to buy the Beged if it does need any tailoring. But the first time that I wear it, I say Shachyanu. But if I'm not there and near the Sukkah, it's questionable whether that helps that you have the Kavanah. Yeah, and Shmini Atzeres, the Gemara has three opinions in Chutzlah, it's whether you have to sit in Sukkah. One opinion is, yes, to sit in Sukkah, and you say, Brocha also lo yishma Sukkah, because it's the Sveik of the Yom, and maybe it's Hashan Aram. The other opinion is, no, you don't sit in Sukkah at all. The third opinion is, you sit in Sukkah, you don't say Brocha. We have in our Gemara, so all the additions of the Gemara, say, Hilchasa, what's the Psak Aloha after they quote all the three opinions? Meisav Yasvin, Brocha lo merachin, you do sit in Sukkah, you don't say Brocha. So it's Yaduah, the Hasidim don't sit in Sukkah, and the Misnag, the Ma'amakbit, to sit in Sukkah. So Rabbi Soloveitchik never used to encourage people to violate their family minhagim. Whatever your family minhagim, sit for the Kiddush, stand for the Kiddush, don't change the minhagim. But a couple of things of his very insistence. So this sitting in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, he said, even if your family all the way back, they're all Hasidim, no one ever sat in Sukkah, this is wrong, it's against the Gemara, you got to sit in Sukkah. Moshe Feinstein writes that his father was a Talmud Chochem, and his father was machmir to sit in the sukkah, even though it was very, very cold. And his father got a stroke because of the fact that he sat in the sukkah and it was cold, and he died from that stroke a little later. Moshe writes, when he had the stroke, his left arm, he put tefillin on his left arm, so his left arm was paralyzed, and he still continued to put on tefillin and the paralyzed arm for a couple of weeks until he died. And Moshe has a tshuva, it's a raya, I saw by my father, he writes, it's a raya that's the din, because my father did it. Now, how did his father know? So he has a whole tshuva. Where's the Gemara? So he has Gemaras that if the left arm would be gangrenous, if the blood would not be circulating, so then the left arm is dead. So then you can't be yotze tefillin on the left arm. But just the nervous system doesn't work, but the blood is still circulating, so then he says that you are yotze. So he said he was, Rav Moshe was very makbid about sitting in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, even if it would be very cold. I would have thought his father got a stroke and his father died, so it means that he did wrong. So Moshe says, no, he was Maisa Nefesh to sit in Sukkah, to sleep in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, even though it was extremely uncomfortable. And he writes that he would tell the grandchildren that they don't have to do this. The children, it's his personal chumer, but that's what his father did. Okay? So, well, what's the justification for the Chassidus Shemini? You find half of the Rishonim didn't sit in Sukkah. Say Rashi, half of the Baalei Hatorah, they didn't sit in Sukkah. So some claim that this line of the Gemara was added on from the Bahag. The Bahag writes like that. So some claim, and it must have been added on by the Bahag, that in Rashi's Gemara, they never had that. Otherwise, how did Rashi go against the Gemara? But this is one of the bugs that Rav Soloveitchik had. He used to tell everybody they shouldn't follow the family tradition. They should sit in Sukkah even on Shmini Atzeres. The Gemara says, Achila Mishnah says, Achilus Arai is Mutter Chutz L'Sukkah. Only you have to sit in Sukkah, Achilus Keva. What's Achilus Keva if you're eating bread? The Gemara says, Peris is always called Achilus Arai. If you're eating Achilus Keva, bread, so if you have Yosem Mikibetza, that's Achilus Keva. If you're eating bread, Kebetz are less, then it's called Achidus Arai.
If it was so cold, how come he couldn't go into his house? Meaning,
yeah, strictly speaking, he may, because Mitzdaris Potem and Asukah, but they didn't want people to say, like they quote from the Vilna Gaon, that once it was freezing, and Lel Shmini Atzeres, so he was afraid they're going to say the Vilna Gaon gave in to the Hasidim, so he insisted he had to sleep in Asukah. So there, Rav Moshe Feinstein was also from the Balozhina, his father, I think, was from the Balozhina followers. So they didn't want to give in to the Chassidim. The normal people would, if it's freezing, so you eat in the house. But if you're going to eat in the house, no one's going to say, he gave in to the Chassidim. Nobody cares what you do. Moshe Feinstein's father, apparently, he was afraid that the Chassidim are going to say, he's giving in to them. The Vilna Gaon didn't want people to think that he's giving in to them. Well, yes, it doesn't matter. No one's going to say anything if we go into the house. Yeah, the first night of Sukkot, there's a machlokes, how much bread do you have to have? A lot of people on Shabbos Yom Tov just have a mashu of bread. You have to have at least a kazayas if you want a bench. It's but he should make sure at least they eat a kazais. Kazais is a machlokes, and Rishonim is a chatzi beitzah, shlish beitzah, beinimus. So with respect to dinim, the Magen Avraham said, with respect to dinim, the Raisa Mamachmeh, respect to dinim, the Rabbanah, you can be mekal, whichever way the kuma is. So the first night of Sukkah is a real din deraisa, so the Ritva has two opinions, whether it's sufficient if you eat a kazayis, because you learn Xerushal, Chamishasa, M'chag HaMatzis, so kazayis should be enough. Or do you say, no, you have to have so much food that it should be an achilas keva. So you have to have Yosem Mikibitz. So Shulchan Aruch, they pass in kazayis. And some Nachmanim say that it's kedai to be choshish for the other opinion in the Ritva to have Yosem Mikibitz. Unless you have a medical problem, you're not allowed to eat, okay? So don't look for hummus. Remember Rabbi Schwab, the last years of his life, had a serious medical problem. He wasn't allowed to eat bread. So he said, Shabbos and Yom Tov, he never ate bread. He only ate the first two nights of Pesach. The first night of Pesach is deraisa, and the second night of Pesach is derabbanan. So he said, the first night of Pesach, he ate chatzi beitza, Kazayis deraisa, and the second night is only Rabbanan, he ate shlish beitza, because he wasn't allowed to eat more. I don't know what he did. Sukkahs, he didn't tell me. He just told me on Pesach.
Once you're washing, aren't you supposed to have a kibbutz anyway for the Tilas
Yadayim? To say a bracha on the Tilas Yadayim, yeah. Okay, so you don't say a bracha? Okay. If you're only going to eat, those women who are only, or men, women, whoever, yeah, in America, people don't eat bread. In Europe, everybody ate bread. Never saw, they ate 10 slices of bread, because they hardly had any food to eat. So they ate, the whole meal consisted of that 10 slices of bread. And a chatzishir, I get a filter fish, and a mashu, I have a chicken. Yeah, but we eat all the chicken, a lot of other dishes, so you hardly eat any bread. So if you're going to say a bracha, al netilas sedayim, you should only say a bracha if you plan to eat a kibbutz bread. Yeah, that is correct. The people who plan to eat so little challah Friday night shouldn't say a bracha on netilas sedayim. That is correct.
If we're handling a very large challah, you're only planning to eat a very small amount, would it still not require a bracha?
If you plan to eat less than a kibbutz, yeah.
You're holding a very large challah.
I don't think it helps what you're handling. If you're going to eat less than a kibbutz, so then it says you don't say a bracha until you say that. Yeah. I just said it's a machlokes whether sukkah has to be dafka keva dafka aroi, so we pass in dafka aroi. No, but achilas aroi doesn't require sukkah. That's not machlokes. I've been on bottom this construction of the sukkah. It doesn't have to be binyan keva binyan aroi. Then the achilas keva needs a sukkah. Achilas aroi does not. So anything you eat is called achilas aroi. The only thing that's really called achilas keva is bread. Yosem mikadeitzim. Yayin, as the Mishnah Berurah came up with the Chiddush, that maybe Yayin is called Achilas Keva, maybe after May, that's in recent years that the Mishnah Berurah became so popular. So years ago, people used to say Havdalah in the house, they didn't say Havdalah in the Sukkah. Now, because the Mishnah Berurah is so well known, the Mishnah Berurah has that Chiddush, that maybe drinking wine is called Achilas Keva, so you gotta drink the wine in the Sukkah. Okay. There's a Chumrah. There's a chumrah. Meikar adin, probably not. Mizanis, he could say, let's say some people have the practice that on Shabbos morning they say Kiddush, then they just have mizanis. So some achranim say that you shouldn't say, usually when you say Kiddush, you say Leshet Basuk, both on Leil Yontif and in the morning on Shabbos Yontif. Some achranim say, but if the practice is that they eat cake, even though they're going to have the meal soon later on, but then you shouldn't say Leisha Basuka after the Kiddush, because you're just going to have cake. And cake, strictly speaking, doesn't really need Yeshiva Basuka. It's called Achilas Aroi. We have to take the Lulav and the Esrig on Minatur, only the first day of Sukkot. This is Sveik of the Yoimah, so you have to take both days. And after the Churban Bayis Sheni, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the chief rabbi, the Gemara says, for 40 years. Now they don't let you be the chief rabbi for more than 10 years. But then he was chief rabbi for 40 years. So during his tenure of Nasi, he and his bezin made 9 takonis. The Gemara lists off all the 9 takonis. So So one of them was she lulav nitol kol shiva, because when Torah Mishnah says you only have to shake lulav all 7 days, b'migdush lulav hayanita b'migdush kol shiva in the base amigdush. So Rabbi Chaim Zakkai, after the churban bayis sheni, he thought it's going to be a long wait, long pause, and the people are going to forget that there was a Rabbi Akiva. Thought years later, Rabbi Akiva thought that there's going to be 70 years pause, like between the bayis rishon and the bayis sheni. 7 years. That's why he supported Bar Kochba's rebellion. He thought they're going to build the Beis Hamikdash 7 years after the churban bayis sheni. But Rabbi Akiva guessed wrong, and Bar Kochba did not turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach. The other Tanoim disagree with Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Chaim Zakkai, I thought that it's going to be a long pause till the third Beis Hamikdash is going to be built, and it will be forgotten that there ever was such a practice. He instituted a lulav nitol kol shiva all over the world, zecher l'migdash. So the Ritva has a machlokes. The Gemara says you only need shalachem on the first day of Sukkot. On Chalamoid, the Tilas Lulav is only Rabban, you don't need shalachem. What about the second day? Shalachem the second day. Do you say there's a sveika? There is a sveika di ayma. We do lacha on the second day yontif, and we say kiddush on the second day. We don't treat it like hamamayit. So it's a sveika di ayma with respect to all the dinim of yontif. Did he introduce a sveika di ayma? When did he introduce this sveika di ayma? Sveika di ayma is introduced during the lifetime of Abai Verove, when their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael established the luach kavua, Hillel Hasheni. When he established it with the great-grandson of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, so when he established the Luach in Eretz Yisrael, so that's when they sent to Shaila from Bavel, should we still observe Yontif Sheni? So he said, yes, he should still practice, still observe the practice that they had to observe Yontif Sheni. So the institution of Yontif Sheni came after, centuries after Rabbi Chaim Zakkai. Rabbi Chaim Zakkai was soon after the Churban HaBayis. He introduced Lulav Nitol Kol Shiva. So the Ritva has an opinion. They never introduced Yontif Sheni vis-a-vis Lulav, because you got to shake a Lulav anyway. For centuries, they've been shaking a Lulav for all 7 days. So what should they say? It's a Sveika di Yoma. So you got to shake a Lulav, the Torah is Sveika di Yoma of the first day. Nafkamina is whether you need Shalachem. You're going to shake the Lulav anyway. So the one opinion is they never introduced the need Shalachem. The need for Shalachem when they introduced Yontif Sheni. So this is a machloika. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bikuri Yankov. Rabbi Yankov Ettlinger, he was a rabbi in Germany. He's the one who gave smicha to Rabbi Samson Reifel Hirsch. He wrote the Doruch Laner, beautiful chidushim on various mesichtes. He wrote the Tshuvas Binyan Sion. So the first sefer that he wrote was Bikurei Yankov. Bikurim, that was the Reish's Bikur. And then he wrote many other svarim. Rabbi Tzalel Vilna wrote, the first sefer he wrote was Reish's Bikurim, and that was all. He never got to write anything else. Never wrote anything else, but Bikur Yankov, that was the first. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bikur Yankov on every page. It's a gewaldige sefer. They're very nice sefer. So the Bikur Yankov has this fantastic chiddush. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bikur Yankov here, that a lot of people think that there's no sveika di yoma, like that opinion in the Ritva, no sveika di yoma for Netilas Lulav. So they think that you don't need Shalachem on the second day. So he said that's against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch passed in the Farish that all the dinim on the first day do carry over to the second day. Not like that opinion in the Ritva, that since you're shaking the Lulav anyway all 7 days, so they didn't bother to make a Sveika di yoma on the Netilas Lulav. So that's one Bikur Yankov that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. He quotes a lot. Then he quotes another one that's very relevant today. At the time that he wrote it, it wasn't so relevant. For many years, it wasn't relevant at all. If a person is visiting Eretz Yisrael, and he walks to the Kosel Marmor, he walks in the Ir Atika, so the Bikur Yankov has this Chumrah. He puts together two Rambams. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis, in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam does not write this. In the Pirush HaMishnayis, the Rambam quotes a Yerushalmi, that Lulav Nitol Bamikdush Kol Shiva doesn't only apply in the actual Beis Hamikdash. The whole Ir Atika has the status of Lula of Shiva. So there's a din Minatorah that you have to shake Lulav all 7 days Minatorah in the Old City. Then there's a Rambam and Mishnah Torah where the Rambam paskins in Beis Abchira Pergvav that Kedushas Hamikdash Ve'ir Atika is Kitchel Osi Lover. From the days of Shlomo HaMelech, it's Mekadosh to Beis Hamikdash and Yerushalayim, the Kedusha remains. So if you, to the Bikur Yankov says, we put together the two Rambams, the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis, the Holy Ratika has the status of Migdash with respect to Lulav Nitol Bamigdash called Shiva, but the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah comes out of his Manazah. If someone is a near atika, he has to shake a lulav min atayra all the same day. So let's say a guy is very common. Someone davens in Tel Aviv, or he davens in Beit Vegan, or he davens in Meir Shoim. Then he walks over on Chalamoid, or he drives by car from Tel Aviv. He comes to the Yir Atika to visit on Chalamoid. So it's not enough what he shook lulav where he was. That was only midirabbanan. Now he's in the Yir Atika. He will have to shake lulav min atayra. The Kuriyank says he shouldn't say a bracha because the Rabbi disagrees with the Rambam about Kitchel Asilova, and the Rambam himself in the Mishnah Torah doesn't quote what that Yerushalmi said, what he quoted in Pirush HaMishnayos. So the whole thing is a fluky chiddush based on a tzirf of two Rambams. The one Rambam is only in the Pirush HaMishnayos, and the Mishnah Torah doesn't quote it. The other Rambam is questionable whether it is Kitchel Asilova or not. So that, but that's the chiddush of the Bikur Yankee. So that's now, it's a standard procedure. And you go to the Kosel Maravi and Chalamayit, so there'll be people there encouraging you, they'll give you the Lula Matana Manas Lahachzer. That's a further machlaikis. The Yinit Shalachem, for this din derais, Lula Nitel Bamigdosh, Kol Shiva, the Yinit Shalachem. On the first day, Yinit Shalachem. That's the din Lakachtim Lachem by Yamarishim, Lakachtim Lachem Mishalachem. What about all the 7 days that is derais and Migdosh? So that's Machlokes Tosfos and the Ramban on the first daf in Lulav HaGozel. So Tosfos' opinion is whenever Lulav is there, I say Nid Shalachem. So Lulav Nid Amigdush Kol Shiva, Nid Shalachem all 7 days. Ramban and the Machamas disagrees, and he interprets the whole Gemara there in the first daf, in the first Amud in Lulav HaGozel, not like Tosfos. He says the two different mitzvahs, the mitzvah Lakachtam and mitzvah Esmachtam. Lakachtam Lachem Yinid Shalachem, that's only the first day, by Yosfek of the Yamini, the first 2 days. Then a smachtim of Pnei Hashem Alkech Meshiv Asyamim, that's a mitzvah of a smachtim. So you knew the way to fulfill the smachtim in Migdosh, smachtim lifnei Hashem Alkech means in the Migdosh, is with the Dalaminim, but it's not the mitzvah of a lakachtim, it's a different mitzvah. So I remember Rabbi Gerelik told us when he learned by Brisk, by the Brisk Rav, that's the system that they had. The Brisk Rav had a table in his home that had room to put 11 seats. So he opened up. He allowed 11 Talmidim to come to learn by him because there were 11 seats at the table. So they had a quota, how many came from Niri Yeshiva, how many came from the different yeshivas. From Radna, I think they only allowed one. I don't know. Each yeshiva, depending on how many students there were. So he was one of the lucky winners. And then he was lucky, he said, he was dating his wife. His wife, Mrs. Gerelli, was from Brisk, so she didn't agree to marry him the first year that he was there in Brisk. So he had to stay a second year to clinch the shidduch. So they allowed him to stay for a second year. Usually a bachur went to learn by Brisk girl, he only learned for 1 year. So because of his shidduch, so they allowed him to learn a second year. So he says he remembers that the Brisk girl was talking about this Bikur Yankif. It was the furthest thing from their mind that this is ever going to be realized, that people are going to be in the Yir Atika shaking the lulav and chalamoid sukkahs. Who ever thought of that? The whole world came to an end. Everybody was killed by the Nazis, and now comes Hamadina. Everything was miraculous. So he says, one of the boys asked the Brisker Rav, what about on the first day? Let's say the person shook a lulav in Meir Shoren, and then he walks over to the Kosel Maravi. Does he have to shake a lulav a second time? Does the mitzvah of a smachtem, does it apply on the first day also? Or does it only apply smachtem? It means the remainder of the shivasyam, not on the first day. The first day, you have the mitzvah of lakachtem all over the world. So he said, the Biskarov is thinking. He said, it's a good shot. He doesn't know. Rabbi Ruchim Perla has a big commentary on the Sefer Mitzvah website. He thinks that this Nekuda is a machlekes or rishonim. He quotes him, the first machumish. How do you translate? Means the remainder of the Shivas Yamim, I know all 7 days. Even on the first day, there's also a mitzvah of Usmachtam, Shivas Yamim. But when you go to the Ir Atika, so near the coast of Marav, there'll be people who will be encouraging you. Here's a matan alas lahachzeh in the middle of Chalamoy. But they're giving matan alas lahachzeh, you only need Shalachem on the first 2 days? No, because Tosfos holds you need Shalachem for the lulav nitel b'migdosh kol shiva also. And the Bikur Yankif came up with this chiddush. If you put together the two Rambams, then you have the din d'oraisa of lulav nitel b'migdosh and the whole Ir Atika. Colorful. It's very colorful. It's always colorful there. Yeah. The Magen Avraham quotes in the Beis Yosef, he quotes from one of the Rishonim, I forgot. He said, based on the Gemara, he said, you have to hold the lulav and the esrog in two different hands. You're not yotzei if you hold both in the same hand. The Gemara says you have to hold the lulav in the right hand, and the esrog in the left hand, because the lulav has three quarters of the mitzvah. You have the hadasim and the arabis, and the esrog is only one quarter of the mitzvah. So that's why you should hold it in the right hand. So when you go with Hoshinus, how can you only have two hands? So where are you going to hold the siddur? So Rabbi Gerelich was telling us, but he learned in Brisk, because the Brisk Rav was makbed on this, Magen Aron Kotzev in the Beis Yosef. So they hardly anybody had an esrog and a lulav. It's not like now in America, everybody in the shul has. It's gone in America, hardly anybody had. So the Brisk Rav insists that the Chazan should hold the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand. And Ruba the Ruba of the Balabatim didn't have a lulav and an esrog. So they had someone would walk backwards in front of the Chazan holding a siddur open like this, so the Chazan would be able to recite the Hoshinus. Yeah, today everybody has a learned lulav and esrog, so you can't have, you don't have another person to carry. So you have to figure out how you're gonna get a third hand. How you're gonna hold the lulav in one hand, the esrog in the other hand, and the siddur in the third hand. Okay, so you gotta figure something out. If a person is a lefty, so there's a machlokes in Poskim whether you should hold the lulav in the left hand or hold the lulav in the right hand. So is it me'akeh b'dieved? Big deal. So the Magen Avraham quotes Rabbeinu Chananel. How do you have Rabbeinu Chananel? We have the Vilna Shas. So they put the Rabbeinu Chananel on the side. Magen Avraham didn't have a Vilna Shas. He was in the 1600s. He was a contemporary of the Shach. He quotes the Shach in Yeridah, but the Shach met him in college. So the Magen Avraham quotes Rabbeinu Chananel. That if you hold the lulav in the wrong hand, that you're not yotze. The Gemara says, "Midagbe nafikbe." Once you picked up the lulav, that's you're yotze already. So the Gemara says, "Where is there a case that you want yotze?" The Gemara says, "Kishahafachai." So pashib shahafachai, you held it upside down. You're only yotze if you hold it kederach kedilosam. So Rabbeinu Chananel says, "Hafachai." If you held the lulav in the left hand, the esrog in the right hand, then you're not yotze. So that's what they say. Mikredin, we really hold that a lefty should hold the lulav in the left hand, as we're in the right hand. But because there are some who disagree, and Rabbeinu Chananel holds that it's likuva, so the Mishnah Berurah always puts together all the chumras. So he says the lefty, after shaking lulav backwards, holding the lulav in the left hand, as we're in the right hand, then he should switch hands. He should hold the lulav in the right hand, as we're in the left hand. Then he should shake again, dwell and anuim all over again. Because there are some hold that you're not yet. I remember I was once walking in the street when I was in high school. I was once walking in the street. My father used to daven in shul. Then he gave me the lulav and the esrog after he came to shul. I used to come by bus to the yeshiva to daven here on Chalamayid Sukkos. So I was running in the street with the dalaminim. So there used to be a man hanging out the window. Every morning he would say good morning to me. I never realized he was Jewish. So when I was running on the street, he asked I should come in. He wanted to bench esrog. So I say, okay. So I give him the lulav and the esrog and chalamayit. So he holds the esrog up. So I said, no, you have to hold it upside down. So he says, you're telling me? He's 100 years old. You don't have to tell me how to do it. So he holds the esrog in the right hand, the lulav in the left, and he says the bracha, then he switches hands. Hafachai. He was a Sfardi. So he learns hafachai like the Rabbeinu Chananel. So he held everything kedarka d'yalos, but on the wrong hand. And after he said the bracha, then he switched. Like we hold the pitim down. Then we see Chafachi, he switched it up. So he held in the wrong hand, and then he switched hands. Apparently that was where he came from. That was the minig in the Alta Heim. The Gemara says that the Adas Mel Arabas have to be a minimum of three Tvachim tall. And the three Tvachim should be Rubai Mishaloshim. The Adasim have to be Mishaloshim. Three come out the same place. And the lulav has to be a minimum of 4 tefachim tall, but you have to have a tefach of the shedra of the lulav above the top of the hadasim and the aravos. The shedra doesn't go all the way to the top. The shedra is the thick part that's white, and it doesn't go, when you reach a certain point, there's no more shedra. Mar says you have to hold the hadasim and the aravos with the lulav in such a way that the shedra of the lulav protrudes the tefach above the hadasim. Then they quote from Rashi something that's a big chiddush. You have to see to it that the hadasim are higher up. The tip of the hadasim should be higher up than the tip of the aravos. And the way to remember it is the hadasim look the shape of an eye, and the aravos are the shape of the lips. And the eyes in a normal person are above the lips. So the hadasim should be high. Usually it's the reverse. Usually the hadasim are not so tall, the arabas are very tall. So usually if you put the lulav like this, and the hadasim and the arabas mamish at the same height, so the arabas is going to be taller than the hadasim. And the lulavim are not so tall that you should be able to pick everything up a few inches up. So you have to snip off the bottom of the arabas, but make sure you have three tvachim of an arava. You shouldn't make it shorter than three tvachim. But the tip of the hadasim should be above the tip of the arabas. They quote in the name of Rashi that you're not even yotze b'dieved. How can you say you're not yotze b'dieved? It's a pella. What, he made up a new din? They don't exactly understand where it came from. But that's what they quote from Rashi. Okay, and more or less people know the dinim of... They quote from Shulchan Aruch, the Rikanti is a sefer on Kabbalah. So they quote that someone had a dream that someone was writing Yud Kei Vav Kei. He wrote Yud Kei Vav, then he wrote the Hey all the way over there. He kept on doing the same Yud Kei Vav. He wrote the Hey all the way over there. And he woke up and he didn't understand what the dream was supposed to represent. And then he reminded himself that yesterday in Shul there was somebody shaking lulav and esrog. He was holding the lulav in one hand and the esrog in the other hand, far away from each other. So he understood that the four minim represent the four letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and you're supposed to hold them together. You're not supposed to, if you hold them very far apart, so you should hold them tucked in two different hands, but they should be near each other. The Taz quotes the whole Rikante, I think, from the Beis Yosef. The Gemara says on Hashanah Rabbe, there's a minig Nevi'im. The Gemara has a shayla, is it a takon or a minig? The Gemara comes to the conclusion it's a minig. It's a minig Nevi'im to do Chibat Arava. What does it mean, Chibat Arava? So the two opinions of Chibat Arava means Linanea the Arava, Chibat Arava means to bang it, Lachavot, to clap the Hoshinus. Then if you clap it, where do? You clap it on the table, you clap it on the floor. So the Maisa, they say, you should shake it five times, you should bang it on the table or the chair five times, then bang it on the floor five times. In Yiddish folklore, everybody knows you have to bang it till every single leaf comes off. There's no mocker for this. No leaves have to bang off. No leaves have to come off at all. Not necessary for any leaves to come up. But the Gemara says you don't say a bracha. So Rashi learns a simple pshat on the Gemara because the Gemara had a suffix where the arava, chibat arava is a minig or it's a takon of the rabbana. The Gemara says it's a minig, so that's why chabad v'lei baruch, he didn't recite a bracha because you don't recite a bracha on a minig. So the Tzvardim hold that that's taka d'itin. They don't say a bracha on chatzi halam rish chodesh because it's only a minig. They wouldn't say a bracha on hadlokas neiris on erev yom kippur because it's only a minig. And there have been a time there, and the Taisus on that daf gives a different interpretation. Some in Hagim, yes, some in Hagim, no. Then the Iran points out, this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that just like in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, so too Bizman HaZeh, it's a Zechel HaMikdash, the Arabas, you shouldn't buy the Arabas on Iran, you should buy the Arabas from the Shliach Bezel. That the Shamas and the Shul, not that he has to make money, even if he's giving out for nothing, it should be arranged by a Psashliach Bezin. It should be done. The community should have it done together. So that's why more correct is that you shouldn't go somewhere in Brooklyn to buy your own arabas. You should get the arabas in the shul. It should be by the Shliach Bezin. Okay, we should try to fulfill all the mitzvahs. Agut Niyantiv. Yeah.
You have to spend money to buy them. You can't do it on our own.